glory of the Father. Amen. He certainly is worthy. Worthy to praise Him. Worthy to serve Him. Worthy to love Him. Our text this morning will come from Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Proverbs 2, 1 through 9. It's how to acquire wisdom. I'm not going to say by this message I'm going to make you any smarter, but maybe you'll be a little wiser. Yeah, that's right. Proverbs chapter 2. Solomon's writing, it seems like, to his son or his children. He's trying to instruct them. Remember, Solomon was one of the wisest men that ever lived. And, you know, a father, a mother, they want their kids to have good skills and have good knowledge. And so here's a man that's tried everything in the world, and he says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path." Father, thank you this morning that we could praise your name and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. You're worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and praise. And we glorify you this morning. Lord, we're so thankful you've given us your word. You're wiser than Solomon. You gave understanding and wisdom to Solomon, but you are greater than Solomon. And so, Lord, as we come to your word today, Lord, we pray that you would open our understanding and that we'd be a seeker of the truth and we'd want to know wisdom that comes from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we did look at the life of Solomon, some of the things Solomon was doing and his wisdom. He was a wise man, and by the way, God gave him that wisdom. He didn't have it on his own. But he didn't always use that wisdom as God intended for him to use it. As he got older in life and he accumulated things in his life, he didn't use wisdom that he could have. He didn't use understanding that God had given him. He departed from God and began to build idols to false gods because of his wife. Now, you ever heard this statement said, that person just educated beyond their intelligence? Just because you got a lot of education and a lot of degrees don't mean that you're smart. You might be smart in book learning. You ever met somebody that had all kinds of degrees and they just, as far as common sense, they didn't have a lick of common sense? Now, we don't have to be that way. But I've met people that way, and you know, you think all that education, they'd be smarter. They just don't have any common sense. I remember many years ago when I was in business, and we did a lot of work with E.I. DuPont Corporation, and they would send down from the home office in Delaware, they'd send down scientists and engineers, and those guys were smart, way smart. They could probably do all kind of calculations and stuff, but a lot of stuff we was working with, they couldn't even understand it. Maybe it's too simple for them. I don't know. They wanted a hard thing. And so we can have a great amount of knowledge and not have wisdom to go along with it. We don't use it properly. Have you ever met somebody that maybe they wasn't even a Christian, but they'd read a lot about the Bible, and they almost could back you down. And so they had a lot of knowledge, but they didn't have the wisdom to go along with that knowledge and use it like God intended it. And so it's good to have good information, though. I'm not putting down information and knowledge. In fact, I used to work with a guy. He used to say, he said, if we have good information, we can make good decisions. We can, but we don't always do that. James said to know to do good and do it not is a sin. I mean, we know we ought to be doing something right, and we don't do it. That's a sin. And so the definition of true wisdom is this, and I came across this many, many years ago, and it kind of affected the way I think a lot. Wisdom, true wisdom, is seeing things from God's point of view. Seeing things from God's point of view. But I stopped short. I should have kept going. It's seeing things from God's point of view and then applying that wisdom, what we saw, to our lives. I call it translating our learning into living. Just because we know the Bible, we don't always follow the Bible. Just because we know truths, we don't always have or are wise enough to follow those truths and apply those truths to our daily lives. And that's really the reason God imparts wisdom, so we can apply it, so it'll be a benefit to our life and we can glorify Him. And so true wisdom is seeing things from God's point of view and then applying that point of view, that knowledge we have, into our lives to glorify God. You look at the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, the very first deacons that was chosen in the book of Acts, they gave the reason they chose them. They said they were men that were honest. You want an honest deacon? They had a good report. In other words, their life was good, so they had a good reputation in their lives. So they were spirit-filled. They were men that loved God. They were full of the Holy Ghost. And it says full of wisdom. You can get educated. You can get educated in the Bible and get puffed up and get arrogant. But it says full of wisdom, how to use that wisdom properly and to glorify God. And so what must we do to acquire, and I'd say godly wisdom? First of all, I'd say we need a reverence for the Lord. You can't really get good wisdom if you don't have reverence and respect Him and glorify Him. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and of the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Some of you remember this. Some of you may be too young. But way back yonder, there used to be advertisement on TV about investments. And it showed a restaurant. And the restaurant was full. Of course, people were talking, kind of like we do before church starts. They were talking. And real noisy. And it showed two guys sitting at a table. And one of them says, well, E.F. Hutton says, in just complete silence. Everybody leaned up. They wanted to hear what E.F. Hutton said. You know why? Because they respected what E.F. Hutton said. I don't know if there was an E.F. Hutton, but they used that as an illustration. In other words, it was important to find out what he was going to say, but you know why? Because it affected their income. It's more important what God has to say. But sometimes we don't stop and listen. God always is wanting to speak to us and teach us things, but we don't listen. So when it comes to reverence, or I'd say respect, if we don't respect who the Lord is, we won't respect what He says. Get that? If we don't respect who He is, we won't respect what He says. That's the reason a lot of people look at the Bible and they don't like something in the Bible. They just ignore it. They just ignore it. Or they'll try to find a scripture they like better. You persecute in one verse, flee to another that you like better. Find one you like better. Whereas when God says something, He says it for His glory and our benefit. He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. But you have to respect what He says, and you have to respect Him in order to respect what He says. Matthew 10:28, it says, don't fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but fear Him rather who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Got to wake you up. That's getting back to realizing who God really is, the power that God has. If Jesus says there's a hell, if we have any sense, I'm using sense in the place of wisdom, if we got any sense, any common sense, we'd believe what He says. We'd be wise about it. If God says in Proverbs 19:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God, if we've got any sense, we'll believe that. Nations that forget God. God's not going to bless nations that forget Him and won't glorify Him. And people who don't glorify Him and acknowledge Him, the Bible says they'll be turned into hell. When the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, says all unbelievers, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. If we've got any sense at all, we'll believe what the Word of God says. But we'll look at that and say, you mean liars are going to hell? According to the Bible. That's not talking about because somebody tells a lie and everything, but it's kind of like a habitual liar. But one lie will send you to hell. We were studying in Sunday school this morning. It didn't take but one disobedient thing from Adam to cause him to become a sinner and to face hell. He lost fellowship with God because of one sin. He ate of the tree that God told him not to. One thing. It messed up the whole human race. But we've got a new Adam, the second Adam, that fixes that because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for the sins of the world if we had put our faith and trust in him. God wants to fix it. So if we've got any sense at all, we'll realize the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We'd believe it. A wicked, wicked serial killer is going to hell, and a person who never believes and trusts in Jesus Christ is going to die and go to hell too. They're going to be in the same place. So, if we've got any sense, any wisdom at all, we'll believe the Word of God. If we believe who He is, we ought to believe this book. He is sovereign. He can do anything He wants to do. But in His sovereignty, He made a way through Jesus Christ that we could have redemption and forgiveness of our sins. And Malachi 3:6 said, I'm the Lord and I change not. God doesn't change. So if we want to have wisdom, we want to begin to accumulate wisdom and be able to apply that wisdom in our life, we need to believe who God is, and we need to have reverence for the Lord, respect for the Lord. As I try not to make jokes about the Lord. I don't like to talk about the big man upstairs and those kind of things. He is a holy, righteous, awesome God that can do anything He wants to do. The prophet said, who can stay His hand or say unto God, what doest thou? God decides to do something, there's nothing in this world can stop Him from doing it if He wants to do it. He has that power. He has the power to take up the sea coast, is what Isaiah said. He has the power to put the stars in the sky and call them by name. He has that power. Yet Isaiah said, with all that power, he says He'll be like a shepherd and take those little lambs up in His arms. If we put our faith and trust in Him, that God, we can be close to Him. But we need to have reverence for who He is. Secondly, if we really want to acquire wisdom, we need humility. Humility. Proverbs 11:2 said, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. When we humble ourselves before the Lord. I'm not smarter than God, neither are you. But you know, sometimes we try to give God advice. You ever gave God advice? Lord, if you do this, really help out? Now, it doesn't mean we can't pray and ask God for things, but sometimes people just get so arrogant they think they're smarter than God. And I'll say this, proud people don't listen. You ever met somebody that said, he or she's just a know-it-all? Before you begin to talk to them, you already know they're going to take over the conversation. They're a know-it-all. They know everything. They know science. They know farming. They know everything. You can't hardly even talk to them about it. You know they're that way. We use the term that they're too big for their britches. You know, they just know more. Again, they're educated beyond their own intelligence. But you know, we have trouble with people like that. But, you know, we do God that way sometimes. We don't listen. God gives us warning signs and signals, and He warns us and teaches us through His Word, and sometimes we just ignore it. We just blow through those stop signs that God's trying to give us. It's kind of like you're driving down the road, you're in your car, and probably everybody here has had this happen. The check engine light comes on. It's flashing. I've known people take a piece of black tape and put over it. They didn't want to see it. That thing's still flashing. And if it flashes a while, you know, you get irritated with it, and you go somewhere and get them to turn it off. You turn off the warning sign. But you could have a severe engine problem. I mean, you could wind up with engine failure, but people just keep going. And God gives us warning signs. And it starts flashing. And you hear it in teaching and preaching. And sometimes God just begins to speak to your heart. It's like a yellow warning sign flashing in our lives that disaster is coming if we don't get it checked. Sometimes there's a yellow light flashing and homes begin to break apart because we've left something out of our life and something out of serving God. Kids begin to rebel, and that flashing light's coming, and we don't heed the warning. Sometimes there's a yellow light flashing when we let coldness come into our hearts. And when you get coldness, then church is not that important anymore, and it's easy to miss. You know, when our heart's on fire for God, we want to be with God's people. I've had people tell me, "Well, I'm saved, but I just don't want to fellowship with all those people." like Don said, this is a church family. This is a family that cares and looks after one another. We ought to want to be. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and you filled with the Holy Spirit and you filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit wants to fellowship with Himself, you might say. Why would He not want to? If we're all filled with the Spirit of God, that ought to draw us together. But a lot of people say, well, I just don't need church anymore. I don't need that. I can just worship the Lord on the lake. Hey, I live on the lake. I worship the Lord on the lake. But when it's time for church, I want to go to church. I want to be with God's people. I can appreciate a sunrise or a sunset or the stars in the sky. They're awesome. It reminds me of the awesome power of God. But that's not what I worship. I don't worship the creation. I worship the Creator. If that moves our heart and makes us get all inspired, we're worshiping something that God made. What about just worshiping God? Just go to the source. Worship the true and living God. And so that light begins to flash and that coldness creeps in and we don't really feel like coming to church and we feel laxed in church attendance and devotion. And if it goes unchecked, pretty soon a person Bible calls it backsliding. We go back in that old life. And sometimes pride, supposed to have this humility, but pride will cause us to do that. Pride gets a lot of folks in hot water. And pride gets folks into trouble. See, because a proud person will quit praying. A proud person will quit attending church because they think they don't need it anymore. A proud person will quit reading the Bible because they got, I got a handle. Until that light's flashing, all of a sudden disaster shows up. And we say, I should have heeded the warning. I was going down that path. The light was flashing. The warning was there, and I just ignored it and kept going. If we're born again, when you get born again, according to the Word of God, the Spirit of God comes into our lives. And so when we don't read the Bible, He reminds me. If I miss church, He reminds me. Now, sometimes we're sick. Sometimes you have to. I understand those kind of things. But sometimes we just get lax. For many, many years in my ministry, every spring and every fall, I'd have a Sunday school campaign. And the idea behind a Sunday school campaign, people, for different reasons, get out of church. Maybe you're sick for 2 or 3 weeks and you kind of got out of the habit. We are creatures of habit. And so we'd do these campaigns, and the goal was if we could get people to come to church for 4 Sundays in a row, you know what? They got back in the habit. They just got back in the habit. I've known big churches give away motorcycles and go-karts and all that stuff just to get people to come, to get them in the habit of coming back. And usually once they do it, they continue to keep going for a while. We are creatures of habit. But we need to have this reverence for God and God's Word and who He is. And then we need to have humility as we serve Him. And on top of that, then we need teachability. Teachability. Sometimes people get to the point, it's hard to teach them anything else. I remember in a church I was in, we got a new pastor who just got out of seminary, and he said this statement to me. He said, I'm glad to finish seminary so I don't have to study anymore. I thought, oh, my Lord. Got a preacher that don't study? Look, I remember taking different courses, and it just happened one semester. I took the book of Genesis. I took the Pentateuch, which first 5 books, which covered that again. So I took it twice. And then I took Old Testament Survey, which covered it again. So 3 times I studied the book of Genesis in the same semester. And I tell you, I haven't learned all the book of Genesis yet. It's inexhaustible. There's things we can learn and learn. And some of the things I learn, I forget, and I have to go back and relearn them. Amen? Refresh it. Refresh yourself in the Word of God. And so Proverbs 9:9 says He gives instructions to wise men, or we'd say wise woman, and he will be wiser. You want to learn something? Hang out with people that are wise. Don't hang out with a bunch of dummies. Hang out with people who know the Word of God. If you want to be wiser about the things of God, hang out with, and that's reading church and Sunday school and those kind of things. We learn from each other. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, so one man's countenance sharpens another. We will learn from each other and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. I don't know it all, and you don't know it all. We've got to help each other. We've got to stay in the Word and keep studying and studying and studying. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher, by the way. So how do you recognize a teachable Christian? How do you know they're teachable? One, they hunger for spiritual things. They want to learn. They want to learn the Word of God. And they are involved in learning, in either participating or teaching. I've said one thing, if you really want to know something, teach it. Teach it, because you've got to do a whole lot more studying than people just sitting there listening to you. And so you got to study the Word to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So there's a hunger. When a person gets born again, there's something that God does when the Spirit of God comes in. The Bible says we're like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. We're not going to understand the deep things of God, but we can understand that Jesus saved us. Jesus saves. We understand that. And He changed our lives. And the Spirit of God has come in. And we begin to want to know more about the one who saved us. I'm not picking on back row people. I said it many times. I used to sit on the back row because I was lost. And I didn't want anybody to ask me any kind of spiritual thing. As soon as church was over, I'd be the first one out the door. But when I got saved, I moved to the front row like Doug's sitting. Because I felt like I'd wasted 27 years of my life. And I wanted to catch up. I wanted to know all I could. Remember, we got saved. Our daughter was 9 years old at the time, and she'd been going to Sunday school, and she learned all the books of the Bible. She could rattle off those books. I mean, just so fast, just fast she could say them. I said, doggone, my 9-year-old daughter knows more about the Bible than I do. And I could have been prideful, but I wasn't. I tried to humble myself, and I said, she can do it, I can do it. And so it's kind of like computers. You know, everybody feels dumb about computers at times. You just have to get over being dumb and be humble and ask for help. And start learning. And the same thing about a newborn Christian. Don't feel intimidated. We're here to help you. We want to help you grow, and you may help us grow. And sometimes we get so saved that we forget the joy of our salvation sometimes. And a new Christian just reminds us again how great it is to be a child of God. Amen. And happy in the Lord and blessed of the Lord. People who are teachable like to share what they've learned. You go to Sunday school, you hear people, they begin to talk about the things they've learned and things. And you know, I like to share what I've learned. I've been taught so many, many things in my life from other people and from the Word. And every Sunday when I stand up here, I try to give you truths that I hope that will help your life to grow in grace and knowledge. I really mean that. I don't stand up here trying to beat folks up. I want you to get close to Christ. I want you to have some tools in your toolbox that when you come across things, you can help others. You can be a teacher also of the things. And I was thinking about when I prepared this message, I thought about the things, even since I've been here, some of the subjects. I preached on hell, and I don't really like to preach on hell because it's not a pleasant subject, but it's in the book, in the Bible, and God warns people. God warns people not to want to go there, that there's a way of escape, and that's through Jesus Christ. He paid our price. I love to preach on heaven. I do. I like to think about the streets of gold. I'm looking forward to those streets of gold, that river of life. But most of all, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ face to face, seeing Him on the throne. I've preached about unity. I think we've got pretty good unity in this church. You may be fooling me, but I kind of look at people. We get along. I can tell that on Sunday morning. You talk. We almost had to blow the whistle to get you to stop so we can have church service, you know. And same thing with fellowship. We like to come together and fellowship. We like each other around here. And that's unity. And David talked about unity. He said unity was like the day that Aaron, the high priest, was first put into service, that God told him about this special anointing oil, and Moses just poured it all over his head. He ran down on his beard, ran down his clothes, hit on the ground, and just filled the place with that sweet aroma. David said, that's what unity is. So sweet, so pleasant, so blessed to have unity. It's a sweet fellowship. I talked to me about the golden rule. The golden rule is not he who has the gold rules. The golden rule is, I want to do to other people like I'd want you to do to me. I want to treat other people with respect if I want respect. I want to treat other people with love if I want love from you. I try to not be a respecter of persons and try to treat people like God would want us to treat people. I preached to you about a self-sacrificing love. You remember when I first came here, and I gave you all those things in 1 Corinthians about, you know, about not griping and having patience, standing in line, you know, at Walmart. You learn to have patience there because the lines get long. Things that we can know and apply to our own lives to help us, but also share that and teach it with others. I taught you about one more night with the frogs. Remember that message? That's when Pharaoh would not let the children of Israel go, and he'd already faced several punishments from God and things that came on him, and the frogs came. Man, they covered everything. They were, you know, the kids got up in the morning, they were in their lunch box to go to school, they were on the breakfast table, they were on the walls, they were in the beds when you rolled the sheets back. Everywhere you turned, they were stepping on them, squishing between their toes when the kids played in the yard. They were everywhere. They were in your shirt pocket. You couldn't eat. You couldn't think. And Moses came to him and said, let my people go, and God will move this stuff. And Pharaoh said, okay, I will. And Moses said, when do you want me to do this? When do you want God to do this? And he said, tomorrow. That was about the dumbest statement I ever heard somebody say. Tomorrow. I bet he and his wife had trouble that night. Because she'd have said, what did you say? They need to leave now. But you know, our sins are like that. We know we ought to repent. We know we ought not to be doing those things. And what do we say to God? Okay, God, tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to get a fresh start tomorrow. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today, not tomorrow. A lot of truths. I told you about how to have God direct your path. But you want God directing you and leading you and teaching you? Well, I told you about in all thy ways acknowledge him. Remember, the Bible says in all your ways, if you acknowledge the Lord, he will direct our paths. He'll teach us. He'll guide us. I told you about don't let your hurt hurt. We get wounded and we get hurt and we want to hurt somebody else. You ever had somebody blow up at you and say, well, I wasn't mad at you. I'm just mad about the situation. Because the hurt they had, they let that hurt get away and hurt somebody else, and then that person's going to hurt somebody else, and it's like dominoes. So is it better if I hurt by myself or if me and somebody else hurts together? Better if I hurt by myself. If I just give it to the Lord and deal with it and get over it. And Jesus says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who abuse you, use you. They despitefully treat you. Pray for your enemies. My goodness, only a child of God can come to that place. Ordinary persons want to revenge and hurt people back, but don't let our hurts hurt. I tell you, it's important to make friends one day. One day that we'll have friends that may welcome us into heaven. What do I mean by that? I mean, there's people over the years I've showed them how to be born again. I taught them about Christ. I led them to Christ. They opened their heart. They trusted Christ their Savior. And some of those folks have already gone on to heaven. And one day, when I walk those streets of gold looking to find Jesus, I feel like I'm going to meet those folks, and they're going to say, welcome, John. Welcome, John. You told me how God would change my life. We need to make friends and lead them to Christ, that one day, if they go on before us, they can welcome us into heaven. You know, all these things, by the way, is on the web, and I'm not trying to sell tapes. But most of this is on our website. You say, I don't remember that. Maybe you didn't hear that. Go check out the website. They're not all on there, but a lot of them is. I'm just saying, to be teachable, you have to be open to learn, and then you ought to be willing to share what we learn. I remember when I was in business, and it's been true in ministry. You'll be surprised at successful people they don't hide their success. If you sit down and talk to them, they'll tell you how they did it. Because they're proud of what they accomplished. And they'll share truths with you. And if we could meet some of the famous preachers we know, I guarantee if you sit down and wanted to know something about Christ, they are delighted to share their knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ with us. They're not holding it back. They're not got it kept. If they want to share it, they're teachable, and they want to share. And so all this stuff is kind of like a spiritual drugstore, I call it. You having a problem with somebody and it hurt your feelings, go to that spiritual drugstore and say, oh, I'm not supposed to hurt them. I'm supposed to give it to the Lord. I taught you about fearful living, how to overcome fearful living. We're not careful. We all have fears and things we worry about. Jesus says to sin to worry. I knew a guy one time, he said he gets up every morning, looks at his watch and stares at it for 5 minutes and worries about everything he can think of. That 5 minutes is up, he said, I've done my worrying for the day. Through with it. Job said, the things that I feared came upon me. Well, that wakes me up. I get the thing, I'm worried about something, fearing about it. I said, whoa, maybe that thing's going to come to me because I'm worried about it and I'm afraid about it. Just give it to the Lord. Job said, if the Lord slay me, yet will I trust him. In other words, if he was willing to die, he still said, I'm going to trust the Lord. We need to go to those spiritual resources we have. Maybe it's where you've marked a scripture in the Bible and found something that really meant something to you. Why don't we share that with people? You will come across people who have some of those same needs. I remember preaching a message years ago about fear. And I gave her an altar call. I had about 6 or 7 people came to the altar, either told me after the service, said, yeah, that message was just for me today. I've been fearing, I've been worrying about things. I didn't know they were all worrying about it. God just directed me to speak on that. But it helped them, you know, sharing what you know. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Peace comes from the Lord. And we need to be diligent. What do I mean by diligent? Well, you know, a prospector goes out and he'll find a little gold on the top of the surface or a little bit in the water and he gets all excited. But the real prospectors dig. They dig because those golden nuggets are down deep. They're not laying on the surface. Every now and then you might find one. But most of them you got to get in the Word. You got to read the Word. You got to study the Word. I've said many times, a genius cannot remember something he's never read, heard, or seen. He's never read it, how can he recall it? He's never seen it, how can he recall it? But if you put the Word of God in your hearts, you don't have to be a genius for the Holy Spirit to be able to bring that back up. He can bring it back up. When you're talking with somebody and you need something, it's amazing how he just brings those scriptures back to you. Out of the blue. But you had to put them in your heart or you had to hear them somewhere. So we had to be diligent. And then he said he stores up wisdom for the upright. What's upright? Just people who live right and try to do right and try to live for God. They're not living in a bunch of sin and stuff. They're living for God and they want to do the right thing. God said, I'll give that person wisdom. Not just intelligence, but wisdom. How to apply the knowledge we have. And then faith. James 1:5-8 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. God said, ask me. Ask me about it. I'll say this, wisdom is often acquired through many stages of our life. Solomon did not start off having all those answers that we found out he had later. He started off with a problem. The first problem he had to deal with is 2 ladies came to him. And you know the story of one of them's baby had died and the other one tried to take the other lady's baby. And they were arguing over whose mother was baby. And Solomon said, well, bring me a sword. I'm going to cut the baby in half and give each one of it. And the real mother said, no, give it to the other lady. And it just astounded everybody at the common, simple wisdom that God gave Solomon to deal with that. And from there on, he began to have more wisdom and more wisdom and more wisdom as he dealt with problems. We kind of joke and laugh sometimes that we don't pray for patience anymore because the Bible says tribulation brings patience. So going through trials in your life and learning to deal with them from a wisdom standpoint of God brings patience. As another one says, I say wisdom often comes through dealing with problems. If you don't have to ever deal with a problem, why would you need wisdom to deal with that problem? And so I'm careful about praying too much for wisdom, too. Kind of joking about that, but you know, God will give us wisdom for problems. He'll give us patience when we're going through trials of life if we put our faith and trust in Him and seek Him. And so we need to seek wisdom from the pages of the Bible. God is always speaking. We it's too much white noise. We don't hear Him sometimes. Psalms 119, the psalmist said, "The commandments have made me wiser than my enemies." You want to be smarter than other people in the world? Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word. The world's not reading God's Word. They don't know what's in it. They may hear a little bit, try to push you back on it, but they don't know God's Word. If you want to be wise, get in the book. And I think sometimes seeking wisdom in prayer. Now, as long as that wisdom you're seeking in prayer is not contrary to God's Word. I well remember when I was pastoring my first church, this lady came to see me one day in my office, and I didn't know her. She was in the community. She came in and wanted to talk to me because I was a pastor, and she sat down. She told me a story. She said, "I've been praying and said, I believe it's God's will. I divorced my husband and married this other guy." I said, "Lady, I don't know who you've been praying to, but it's not the God I know." God's not going to lead you to do that. He's not going to lead you to divorce one person. And you already got another one sitting out there waiting. God doesn't do that. See, so our prayer has to match the Word, or it's not true wisdom. And I think seeking wisdom and sound research, sometimes we've got to check out things. And God is not against common sense, by the way. He really isn't. When Joshua was going into the promised land and leading the children of Israel in the promised land, they sent out spies to check out what was out there. They wanted to know what they were going to face. God didn't punish them for that. God didn't say, "No, don't do that." Jesus said, if a person is going to build a tower, said, let them count the cost. See how much it's going to cost for to start building it so they can finish it. And so some common sense is okay with God as long as it matches the Word of God. As long as it's not contrary to God's Word. And I think seek wisdom from life itself. Proverbs 6, chapter 6, talks about the ant. And it talks about how smart the ant is. And we look at that little ant like they got ant brains. But the psalmist said that ant's smart enough to prepare food in the summer, store it up for the winter. They're smart enough to know that winter's coming. Birds build nests, squirrels store up things. But I think a lot of folks don't even have ant brains because they don't make plans for the future. We're all on our way somewhere. We are. We're going somewhere. We're going to heaven or hell. And we need to make plans for the place we'd like to go. And that can only come through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the way and the only way. There is no other way. It's Jesus. It's the Jesus way. And it's the truth. It's impossible for Jesus Christ to lie about anything. Stars would start falling from heaven and the world would go in disaster if God ever told a lie. He doesn't. So whatever He said is true. You can believe it. Old saying, you can take it to the bank and trust it. You can believe it. Because God's Word is trustworthy. And so, if we don't want to be like bird brains or ant brains or something like that, we need to plan for the future. Make sure where our future is going to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not sure about that, I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just saying, the Bible says there's appointed a day that God's going to judge the world. There's going to be a judgment day coming. You probably used to see these signs when you go up in Tennessee and it was painted on the side of barns. They prepare to meet thy God. That was scripture. That was scripture. Prepare to meet thy God. We're going to meet God one day face to face. Every person that's ever been born in the history of the world from Adam and Eve on are going to meet God. Some of us will meet Jesus and be part of the redeemed. Others are going to meet God and be judged because they never opened their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. You can call them bird brains. They just wasn't smart enough. They just wasn't open enough. They were too proud. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So I hope you've made plans. And I think I know most of you here that I know you, been pastor for a while, that you seem to love God. You've trusted God. You want to serve God, and you are serving God. But I have been in churches where preaching and people come forward and people have been saved a long time. They say, well, I've been serving God, but I really didn't know God. And after many, many years, some of them were teachers. They got saved one Sunday morning because they realized it wasn't their service, their good works. It was Christ. They had to have Christ in their life. They had to be born again. And so I pray this morning for us that we realize who God is and respect God and respect God's word. God's not kidding when he says some of these things. If we've got any spiritual sense, we'll just believe him. He means what he says. Would you like a person that when they say something, you can trust them to say it? You can trust them to do it. You can count on them. Well, Jesus Christ is above all human beings. When he says something, and this is the Son and the Father's word, when they say something, you count on it. And if it says you're a sinner and you will confess your sins to Jesus Christ, you'll open your heart and ask him to come into your life and be born again. He says if you'll do something, he'll do something. If you will open your heart to him, you'll invite him in. He says he will come into your life and change your life. God can't lie. Do you believe him? Father, I pray this morning for us here, that every single person here, Lord, we want wisdom. And Lord, help us to just respect and honor who you are, not to be to a place we're not teachable anymore, but Lord, we're open and pliable and want to learn from you and grow in grace and knowledge. But I pray, Lord, if there's someone here this morning, you have not opened your heart to Jesus, for whatever reason, something has held you back. If God has spoken to you this morning, he is wanting to change your life. Listen to him. Open your heart to him. Open your life to him. Confess your sins to him right now, today, not tomorrow, today. Ask him to come into your life, forgive your sins, change your life for all eternity, and be born again. You can do that. And when we give this altar call in a minute, if God has spoken that to you and you've surrendered your life to him, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Just slip out of the aisle, come down, and let us know that we can rejoice with you. Lord, I pray this, pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand as we sing this morning.